It cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross.
Good morning to everyone. My name's Annette, for those who do not know it, and I'm welcoming you, through myself, everyone here that's gathered today for worship. In doing so, I affirm that we are a diverse community, represented by variations in age, in gender, in sexual orientation, in culture and ability. Yet together we are all accepted and invited to worship in this place, and that we trust it is a safe place in which to grow in God's love and share genuine warmth and hospitality. In welcoming you here today, I'd particularly like to welcome Heather, who's sitting in the front row. I always feel like it's, you know, where is this person? And for those who don't know, Heather's sitting near Temakisi here, Heather Loader, who's the Presbytery Secretary. She's going to share in part of our service today, but we would want you to feel welcome whether you were sharing in it or not, and we hope that you also feel that you are very much part of our community at this service today. We are indeed a community that at Western Heights are a gathered people committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community and sharing faith. And in so doing, we have the challenge always of being or aiming to be active disciples for Jesus the risen Lord. As you would be aware, while Jan's away at the moment, we don't have pew sheets and there are no notices I've checked in the book, except for Robert, who's going to come up and share something with us, which is very important. So welcome, Robert, and we'll listen to what Robert's got to say.
Thank you, Annette. That would make a pleasant change. You're going to listen to what I've got to say. First of all, a message from Neil Shirley. down at Ocean Grove, he sent me a message last night and said, could I pass this on to the members of the Western Heights Uniting Church? This is his message. Neil Shirley won't be able to join the worship tomorrow. Sunday is his last day in isolation due to a bout of COVID. God bless you all. That's Neil Shirley down at Ocean Grove. And my announcement is in relation to these two postcards. The Social Justice Unit of the Synod of Victoria and Tasmania regularly does this with issues that they feel are very important, and you think, how can we as church members help? All we need to do is read it, make sure we're comfortable with what we're signing. One is to do with housing justice, a home for everyone, asking the Victorian government to keep its commitment to building over 55,000 homes. And also, this one, some of the homes should be public housing. I further ask the government to increase funding for the maintenance of social housing so that properties are not left empty for unreasonable lengths of time. There's also 55,000 families on the Victorian government housing waiting list. 55,000 families. So that's that postcard. All you have to do is write your name, an email, or address, and your signature, and a stamp. If you need help with a stamp, come and let me know. And this one is about letting voters control their preferences. Apparently, I don't understand a lot about it, but in Victorian elections, there's a lot of backroom dealing goes on when you vote on the front, on the top, above, on the first line, and you don't really know who you're voting for with your preferences, and they're asking that secrecy be taken away. So they're at the table just near the foyer. Yes. Oh, sorry, I wasn't sure I was
going to.
Yes.
Would you like to advertise that as well?
All right. So is that at 10:30?
Yes.
10:30 a.m. this Wednesday morning. But that's been advertised, hasn't it? Around through. It's a writer's about for people who want to write to politicians or letters or to newspapers, etc., about environmental issues. We're coming together on Wednesday to talk about how we can do that in a really good way, in a helpful way. So it's 10:30 here. It starts with a coffee, doesn't it?
Sure it does.
I think.
That's a wee. It's a measure of Robert's modesty, I reckon, that he forgets all the good things he does or is doing and has to be reminded of it. It's a real credit to him. Acknowledgement of country for me this morning is in the form of an adapted blessing, really. It's sort of a little bit like the Sermon on the Mount in some ways, but it's not as long. But I think it's got some interesting thoughts in it. So, blessed is the earth on which we live and move and have our being. Blessed are the first persons of this land and the first persons of all lands. Blessed are the Wathaurong peoples of the Kulin nations, the faithful stewards and custodians of this specific land on which we gather. Blessed are those who seek truth-telling and who continue to share this land in peace and love, for they shall be called the children of God. We're going to have a moment of quiet meditation now. You'll be familiar with the music, instrumental music, which is Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. And when we have that quiet meditation, then we'll get ready to continue with our worship after that.
We gather on holy ground. As Moses encountered Jesus on Mount Sinai, where the commandments for living were offered to the people, we too gather on this holy ground, where we too encounter the presence of God in our midst. Our call to worship this morning will be responsive. God has placed God's hand on you for healing and restoration. God has called you to special service and witness. Let us rejoice and praise God. Let us pray. God of love, you meet us here today in this holy place, a place of rich encounters with the presence of God and of others. Bring a message for each of our hearts. Hear our cries. Hear our thanks. Be with us in this time of worship. Whatever we have on our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The New Testament reading this morning is taken from Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 4-10. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb I knew you, and before you were born I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And here ends the word of the Lord.
Responding to God's call in our lives can be both overwhelming, as felt by Jeremiah, and liberating, as experienced by the woman. Today we mark a significant call in Reverend Robert's journey. So I'm going to invite Heather to come forward, as well as Robert. There's a microphone there.
Turn on. It's on. Okay. Good morning, Robert, and good morning. I come from the Presbytery of Port Phillip West for this joyous occasion. Lisa Carey, our chairperson, sends her apologies. She's celebrating 160 years in a chapel in her home congregation today. So here I am deputising for her. Robert, I checked up before I came down on you to see where you've been and what you've been doing, and I see you're in permanent retirement. Well, we all know ministers, when they retire, don't really retire, they just do supply. So I'm sure you're doing supply around Geelong at times, and I'm sure that you engage with quite a lot of congregations. So we're here to celebrate Robert's 35 years since ordination. And we thank you and congratulate you for that milestone, which is a huge amount of years in ministry. I'm not going to go on for too long. I'd like to offer up the prayer that was said at the last Presbytery and Council meeting, which I think was last Saturday. I've lost time, lost track of the days. So this is a prayer for Robert, but it's also a prayer for all of the ministers that were celebrating milestone or years from ordination. So let's give thanks for the many gifts of ministry. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, for those that have heard the call of the church, who have served in ministry and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and the opportunity to love your people. We give thanks to you, O God, for those that have shared this journey with them, for their spouses, families and friends who have accompanied them in times of joy, challenges and grief. For their sense of humour, encouragement, love and support, for the times they offered words of hope, spoke grounding truth, or quietly held their hand. We give thanks to you, O God, for places of learning, studying and growing, for those that have discipled people of all ages, in small groups and through teaching. The encouragement to think theologically and critically, and the opportunities to write, share, and speak. For the gift of your word among us, we are grateful. We give thanks to you, O God, for the times they have had the joy and honour of sharing intimate and meaningful moments in people's lives, for the cups of coffee and conversations, the tears that have been spilt, joy and laughter that has been and given delight. We give thanks for the many baptisms, weddings and funerals that they have conducted, that have been conducted by these faithful ministers, for prayers offered around bedsides and hospital visits, for wisdom in mission planning, for leadership in worship, and the presence at the Lord's table. Above all, we give thanks to you for your powerful presence, renewing spirit, and sustaining love. We give thanks for your constant loving pressure, a presence that has shaped and formed these ministers and continues to empower, strengthen, and equip them for the journey. May the light of Christ guide you and shine within you. May you be a God-bearer all of your days, continuing to share the light of Christ with those whom you meet. Amen. So, Robert, we have a certificate. It's a bit of insignificant when you think about the 35 years that you have worked in ministry, the work that you did with AgeWell for many years. We congratulate you and hope to see you go forward and continue in your ministry as a supply minister. Congratulations. Do you want to make a response?
Thank you very much, Heather. Thanks for coming here to share this certificate. And I'm very grateful. When they first rang me to say it's 35 years, I had trouble believing it myself because I look so young, don't I? And but I remember 1990, and in March, wasn't it, Catherine? March 1990, my parents were still alive and were there at the ordination, and that was very special to me. Catherine and I were already married, and she was there too, which was very special to me. And perhaps more importantly, she's been there in the 35 years since and stayed by my side and supported me and loved me. And I thank you for that, Catherine. That weed reading from Jeremiah, I really identify with that in terms of the years leading up to going to study at theological college, whether to study at theological college. Was I good enough to be a minister? I've never felt good enough, so that's probably a good thing. But it was quite anxious at certain times, and I can relate to Jeremiah's thoughts there. But I'm very grateful, and also to this congregation, to this church community, because I've been here now with Catherine since about 2001. So 24 out of the 35 years I've been here at Western Heights Uniting Church, and you have always been extremely supportive, caring, and loving. As you know, I worked for 12 years at Flinders Peak Secondary College as a school chaplain at Norlane High School, then as a chaplain in the hospital for many years, and then as a chaplain at Uniting AgeWell. But whatever I've done, and now also in my ministry with the Smith family, with disadvantaged children in my retirement, I feel the support of all of you, and I'm really, really grateful. Thank you.
So I'd just like to light a candle for Robert and his family. And just one more, because I'm a bit sneaky. For all of our ministers across the Uniting Church and the amazing things that they do, we thank them as well.
Our next song is Send Me Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
Send me, Lord.
me, Jesus. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Lord.
Mamina,
to Mamina, to Mamina, to Mamina, soul and love.
Our prayers of confessions are based on our gospel reading. So let us pray. Compassionate God, like the Pharisees in Jesus' time, we are so bound by rules and regulations that we fail to see the human needs that goes beyond the bounds of structures. We easily relegate compassionate service to those agencies like Uniting, Salvo, Anglicare, and many in our society that have as their mandate, forgetting that you have given us the supreme mandate to care for one another, even as you have cared for us. We have turned our backs on those in need, giving the responsibility to someone else. Let someone else do the job, we proclaim. And in that proclamation, we have revealed our selfishness and our inability to be your follower. Holy God, transform us from our selfish way and heal our hardened hearts. Forgive us again, as you have so often before, when we have failed to be your witnesses and your workers. Help us to become involved in ministries of peace and justice, right where we are. For there is nowhere in creation where your love is not needed. Let us bring messages of love and hope to all people. Bring us to an understanding of the partnership of healing and hope that abides in each of us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Know that you are loved, you are held, and you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Bear with us as we do a dramatic reading from the Gospel of Luke. And we haven't had time to practice, so we're just going to go with it. So can I invite the characters to take your place? And I'll ask the narrator to come forward and read from my script. So I'll have Jesus there. The church councillor's there, the visitor on this side, and the narrator here. And I'll take my place.
The Gospel reading this morning from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all.
Woman, you are healed. Be free.
Wow. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
What do you think you're doing? You've breached our regulations, the law that governs our lives. Surely you know it's the Sabbath today. No healing permitted.
Yes, 6 days for work. So come on those days if you want to be healed. No more law breaking here.
You hypocrites. You care for your animals and rest them on the Sabbath, but you care nothing for this woman and the years she's been suffering.
I wanted to tell her story. I came to the synagogue every week. I prayed. I hear the Torah read. Sometimes I feel the comfort of women of my community. I leave bent. I have been in this position for nearly 18 years. It's crippling. And I have no husband, no children, just this pain and the kindness of some of the women in my community. I have not held my face to the sky and felt the warmth of the sun in years. I have not been able to feel the warm evening breeze that often turns cold as the evening wears on. My robe is dusty and withered. I only have this one, and this was a cast off from another woman who died giving birth. I live with the pitying eyes of those around me. The women who think Satan has bound me with this disease. I hear them wondering what I did to bring this upon me. others dutifully help me. They share their bread with me. They bring me water from the well. Yet often I hear their complaints of having to draw two jugs from the well. And their children laugh. Rarely are they shushed by their mums. But every week I come to the synagogue. I pray. I hear the Torah. I share in the community of these Jewish women. And I leave bent. I come today. I pray, I hear, and to be cared for by a new rabbi, a new teacher. I'll just take my place in that far corner where the women usually sit. And then I hear the rabbi's voice, "Woman, come here, come here." Is he talking to me? I shuffled past the others to take my place on the men's side of the synagogue. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment," the voice came. Is he really talking to me? What's he doing? He is touching me. I pulled back in fear. A man, not of my kin, is touching me. I'll be stoned. But there is something in his touch. Something firm, but yet gentle. A fire, but still comforting. He is telling me to stand up. Now I've been mocked. I thought the synagogue was a place where I can feel safe. I can see their eyes and feel the tension in the room. Stand up. The pain is not as intense as it has been. Stand up. Well, I am trying. I look at the rabbi's eyes and I see that same fire that was there through my back as he touched me. Praise God. Praise Jesus. I can look him in the eye. I can look around the room. Praise God. I can hear the gasping. I can see the smiles in the people's face. I just want to dance. But remember, this is a synagogue. I must remember my rightful place. The synagogue leader is saying something. He is trying to hush the people and pointing the finger. His tone is becoming very angry and loud. I think he was trying to maintain order. Praise God, I can see all around. I can move. He is saying something about this rabbi who has given me the cause to rejoice. He doesn't like that rabbi that healed me on a Sabbath. Obviously, he wasn't the one in pain. There are 6 days on which you can work, he says. I really wanted to speak up. I want to say, you have had 18 years to heal me. I have come and I have left bent. Another day, and this healer, this rabbi, would be gone. And you would still have me bent and in pain. But no, this is the synagogue, and I am but a woman. I dare not speak. Maybe this rabbi doesn't know the law of our faith. Or he must. He is a rabbi after all. This rabbi is calling the leaders hypocrites. He counters by telling us that we, at times on Sabbath, lead our animals to the waters. Don't we call that working? Will the rabbi be destroyed? Has my healing caused so much division? I'm almost afraid of what might happen to me next. But this rabbi, I think he's called Jesus. He has given me my name. He has called me daughter of Abraham. He has invoked the name of our great ancestor. Yes, I am the daughter of Abraham. I am the descendant of faith. Thank you, God of Abraham, for setting me free. This narrative reminds us of Jesus' mission to dismantle and deconstruct the systemic structures of oppression, denying people of their dignity. We too are called to plant and to rebuild structures that offer liberation, structures that offer love and compassion, for we all are children of Abraham. Thanks be to God. Amen. In response to the word, I invite you to stand and we sing this song, Two Hands Reaching Out in Love.
reached out to calm a storm, to hands that touched a blind man's eyes, to hands that healed a leper, overplaced in blessing on a child. To
holy and gracious God, you have given us the gift of Torah, the gift to guide our life as covenant people. In response to your call to love, we offer all these gifts and we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
It's important, I think, just at this moment, just to be reminded we're a very inclusive community. We say that. We have a really great opportunity today in welcoming everyone. We have some people, again, from St. Luke's with us today, which is great. People from all locations, everyone is welcome. So at the end of the service today, if as part of that welcome, we spend some time sharing with each other and meeting each other, That, I think, is pretty important as we get ready to do our prayers for the people. Loving God, like the woman healed from her infirmity, we are all in need of your healing touch in our lives and in our world. Be present and receive our prayers that we bring before you now. So let us pray. Bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths and superficial relationships, so that being troubled and uncertain, we seek to live deep within your tenderness and compassion. Never let us grow accustomed to or complacent about unrighteousness and injustice. Like Jeremiah, help us to hear your voice and give us the courage to live in ways that make a difference to those who have no hope. Help us to hold your covenant in our hearts, and may we continue to be listening for your voice amid the clamour surrounding us. Strengthen our resolve to share what we have: food, shelter, money, and opportunity with those living on the margins. Bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war. We pray for the peoples of Gaza, where famine has been recently declared, and prevent us from ignoring man's inhumanity to one another. We pray for strength for those whose faith is wavering, and for grace for those leading divided communities and countries. Give us the wisdom and the courage to act and intervene as you would have us do before the gap becomes unbridgeable. Bless us, God, with enough foolishness and naivety to trust that you can make a difference in our world, and show us how we can do what others claim cannot be done. We aim to secure justice, freedom, and peace. Thank you for helping the people of Victoria, through its leaders, to formulate a truth-telling treaty with our First Nations people, who yearn for a more open and reciprocal relationship with non-First Nations people. Help us acknowledge the wounds of those hurting and tend them towards healing. We pray for the wisdom to rediscover prophets that we have missed in the midst of our lives. Grant us the grace and the opportunity to accept your message from unexpected places and unexpected people. May we listen for your voice in the voices of prophets around us, and remove our cynicism and our judgment when we react as doubting Thomases, unwilling or uninclined to hear you in their call. And finally, thank you for granting hope amidst despair, rest for the weary, bread for the hungry, recovery for the ill, and comfort for those seeking solace in the midst of grief. We pray for those here in our Western Heights community currently on travel overseas or throughout Australia, for those separated temporarily or permanently from loved ones, as well as those unsure how to step out in faith in what are uncertain times, both for them personally and for this church community of Western Heights. Renew us, restore us, and enable us to share now in the prayer you asked us to say whenever we are gathered in your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we proceed now with our song, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. As grace first taught my heart to fear, so grace my fears relieved. A precious day that grace appeared.
You to say the grace with me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Let's go and enjoy our cuppa.